sat down on a rock and looked at the child in her arms. It was a boy, no more than 2 years old, and quite naked under the blanket. She rocked him vaguely and stared at nothing. Nanny Og examined the two corpses with an air of one for whom laying out holds no fears.
"Perhaps they were bandits," said McGrath tremulously.
Nanny shook her head.
"A strange thing," she said. "They both wear this same badge. Two bears on a black and gold shield. Anyone know what that means?"
"It's the badge of King Varence," said McGrath.
"Who's he?"
said Granny Weatherwax.
"He rules this country," said McGrath.
"Oh, that king,"
said Granny, as if the matter was hardly worth noting.
"Soldiers fighting one another doesn't make sense," said Nanny Og. "McGrath, have a look in the coach."
The youngest witch poked around inside the bodywork and came back with a sack. She upended it and something thudded onto the turf. The storm had rumbled off to the other side of the mountain now, and the watery moon shed a thin gruel of light over the damp moorland. It also gleamed off what was, without any doubt, an extremely important crown.
"It's a crown," said McGrath. "It's got all spiky bits on it."
"Oh dear," said Granny.
The child gurgled in its sleep. Granny Weatherwax didn't hold with looking at the future, but now she could feel the future looking at her. She didn't like its expression at all. King Varence was looking at the past, and he had formed pretty much the same view.
"You can see me," he said.
"Oh, yes, quite clearly, in fact,"
said the newcomer. Varence's brows knotted. Being a ghost seemed to require considerably more mental effort than being alive. He'd managed quite well for 40 years without having to think more than once or twice a day, and now he was doing it all the time.
"Ah," he said, "you're a ghost too."
"Well spotted."
"It was the head under your arm," said Varence, pleased with himself, "that gave me a clue."
"Does it bother you? I can put it back on if it bothers you,"
said the old ghost helpfully. He extended his free hand.
"Pleased to meet you. I'm Champot, King of Lancre."
"Varence, likewise."
He peered down at the old king's features and added,
"Don't seem to recall seeing your picture in the Long Gallery."
"Oh, all that was after my time,"
said Champot dismissively.
"How long have you been here, then?"
Champot reached down and rubbed his nose.
"About 1,000 years,
he said, his voice tinged with pride.
"Man and ghost."
1,000 years?
"I built this place, in fact. Just got it nicely decorated when my nephew cut my head off while I was asleep. I can't tell you how much that upset me."
"But 1,000 years?
Varence repeated weakly. Champot took his arm.
"It's not that bad,"
he confided, as he led the unresisting king across the courtyard.
"Better than being alive in many ways."
"They must be bloody strange ways, then," snapped Varence. "I liked being alive."
Champot grinned reassuringly.
"You'll soon get used to it,"
he said.
"I don't want to get used to it."
"You've got a strong morphogenic field," said Champot. "I can tell I look for these things. Yes, very strong, I should say."
"What's that?"
"I was never very good with words, you know,"
said Champot.
"I always found it easier to hit people with something. But I gather it all boils down to how alive you were when you were alive. I mean, something called..."
He paused.
"Animal vitality. Yes, that was it. Animal vitality. The more you had, the more you stay yourself, as it were, if you're a ghost. I expect you were 100% alive when you were alive,"
he added. Despite himself